Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello everyone, welcome to Radically Loved Radio. I wanted to create a place where people can go to get inspired, get motivated, or find some clarity and get tools to create a radically loved life. I will do my best to provide information on a variety of subjects, including yoga, holistic health, life coaching, spirituality, meditation, and overall mindful living. Each episode will bring you some of the world's best spiritual leaders, entrepreneurs, yoga teachers, coaches, along with some of my closest friends, and we will talk about their life experiences and journeys to create something more out of their lives and how they continue to grow to make that happen. Thanks for listening. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Radically Loved Radio. I am joined by a very special guest. This is a person that has been on my wish list since the first list I ever made for my podcast back in 2015. She is an incredibly inspiring, beautiful entrepreneur. I was always so inspired by you from the moment that I met Tori, because my partner and Nikeo's partner are like, they've known each other forever. I don't know. I don't even know how long. They're in forever. A long time. So I'll never forget when Tori told me about you. I was like, she made what out of what? Like, for your skin? What? And she, what? And she's Kenyan descent. And this is how she learned to, who is she? What does she do? I want to know her. Like, what is this? And I was just really inspired by you and your story. And obviously over the last course of 17 years that I've been together, can you believe it's been that long?
My goodness.
With Tori, I've always just really looked up to you and I've always just followed you along. And I'm really grateful that you're part of this platform now, that you're doing this podcast with me. So for those of you that don't have no idea what I'm saying, because I'm just rambling on, Nikeo is a incredible entrepreneur. She has created a skincare line that is completely revolutionized, I feel, the industry of creating something from your heart with authenticity. It's clean, it's green. And, you know, I just, again, it's like, I don't want to sit here and tell your story. Like, I'd love for you to tell us your story, but I'm really honored to have you on, and I'm excited to introduce you to my audience. So thank you for being here.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me. That was the sweetest, kindest intro. I can't even believe that it's been 17 years. I started my brand 18 years ago. So you've literally been there since the very beginning.
Yeah.
When I was, you know,
I have
trying to teach myself how to be an entrepreneur.
No, but I have the first round of the stuff that you did, like the scrub.
The original OG coffee body scrub. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's where it all started. And it always makes me so happy and just so grateful to be able to not only connect with friends, especially in this, you know, crazy time, but to really be able to have friends that are that mirror, that kind of reflection of where you've been and been there to support one another. And so I'm so grateful to be here. I'm so proud of you and for the platform that you've built and, you know, creating the space for us to share our stories.
Yes. Yes. So God, I have so many questions. I'm going to try and direct this. Like, first of all, we are in the middle of, we have to acknowledge the state of the world, right? This is, we're in the middle of a coronavirus. There is a civil unrest happening. There's a lot of uprising of injustice. And there's so much light being shined on the injustice of our country and what is going on in the world. And there's also a huge awakening of a young generation speaking up and changing the paradigm of even how we grew up in this system, and everything is changing in entrepreneurship during this climate. Like, there's just so many things going on. But before we get into any of that, I know, like, where do we even tackle this conversation? First of all, I'd love to just have the listeners know a little bit more about your background. You're a first generation American of Kenyan descent. You were born in Buffalo. You grew up in Oklahoma. You live in Los Angeles. So just maybe we can start there, you know, a little bit about, you know, you growing up in a community that was different than what, you know, like, I grew up in LA. Growing up in Oklahoma would be worlds apart. Like, I would have no idea what that would be like. So I'm just curious about, you know, just how that was for you and how it shaped who you are now. I mean, I know it's a loaded question.
Oh, yeah, no worries. Yeah. So I am a first generation American of Kenyan descent. And I spent the first 9 years of my life on the East Coast in upstate New York, and then New York City and New Jersey. And then when I was 9, we moved to Oklahoma because my father started the African Studies program at the University of Oklahoma. And so, yes, dramatically different than my upbringing in elementary school in New Jersey, moving to Oklahoma. But, you know, because it was a college town, there was definitely, and the university did a great job of recruiting people from all over to come and be scholars at the school. You know, while, yes, it wasn't, you know, extremely diverse, there were definitely many people from all walks of life. And so, you know, generally in childhood growing up in Norman in a college town, it was slightly more progressive than you would assume a town to be in Oklahoma. So I had a pretty happy childhood. You know, I didn't have a lot of people that looked like me in my younger years in elementary and middle school. But when I got to high school, there was only one high school in the town at the time in our hometown. And so it was very like 80s movie. Like, the town was divided by train tracks. There's the east side and the west side. I lived on the west side, where there weren't a lot of black and brown people. More black and brown people on the east side. Our high school was only a 2-year high school, and we joined up in 11th grade and all met each other for the first time, pretty much. So that was, you know, its own bag of tricks, its own challenges, you know, kind of a lot of, you know, that identity. Where do I fit in? Who do I fit in with? I'm a west side black girl, but, you know, there's more black girls on the east side, but they don't know me. They might resent me. White people on the east side don't understand why I grew up on the west side. You know, there were all of those things. But I think being a teenager, take it with a grain of salt, and you're already going through your own plethora of experiences and emotions. So I've found a way to make it work. And, you know, was in student body. I was a student body president my senior year. You know, I really found a way to just kind of figure out who I am on my own. And then I went to college at the university, studied business, decided to move out to LA after visiting LA my senior year and falling in love with the beach and palm trees and really the energy of Los Angeles. I couldn't probably identify it then when I was so young, but what I realize now is that I was just so attracted to the energy of dreaming and dreamers. And this being a place that you, so many people come to with big dreams, and it's not out of the ordinary. You know, when I was in Oklahoma and I would tell people, you know, I want to move to LA. I either want to be in a sports agent, which is hysterical now because I barely watch sports, but I loved sports back in Oklahoma. It's a very big sports state. And then, or work in Hollywood, you know, people were like, what? Like, you're crazy. You're from Oklahoma. You're going to move to LA and work in Hollywood. And then when you got here, you know, it was just the norm. And so that's what I did. I started working in the entertainment industry, got a job at a big agency right after I graduated, and then kind of worked my way up as a Hollywood assistant. Found that what I love the most in the business, as they call it here in LA, was the fashion and beauty aspect of the business and working with actresses. But what I really loved was being able to spend time with actresses when they were doing shoots, when they were doing their beauty deals, when they were on set, working with their stylist, working with their makeup artist, less than, you know, wanting to read scripts and find them jobs. And, you know, one thing I very quickly realized at the ripe old age of, I guess I was about 25, 26, is that the continent of Africa was very underrepresented in beauty. And that was important to me. It was an important observation for me because as a little girl, when I was 8, you know, I had the privilege of my parents taking me to Kenya so that I could spend time with my grandparents, and my cousins and aunts and uncles that all still live there. And my grandmother was a coffee farmer, and she taught me my very first beauty secret using Kenyan coffee beans and sugar cane that she grew on her farm. Though he passed away before I got a chance to know him, was a medicine man. And so he had the ability to go out in nature and extract oils to treat the skin. So, you know, as I said, my grandmother taught me my first beauty secret using Kenyan coffee beans and sugar cane that grew on her farm, and used it to exfoliate her skin, used the sugarcane rods to exfoliate her skin. And my grandfather passed away before I got the chance to know him, but he was a medicine man, and he had the ability to go out in nature and extract oils to treat the skin, to treat ailments, to use in ceremony. And so for me, you know, these kind of beauty rituals and beauty secrets and traditions were, you know, steeped in sophistication, in efficacy. And I just felt like, you know, we're seeing all these beautiful beauty products that are coming from all over the world, Europe, Asia. Why? And this is early 2002. Why are we not seeing beauty products celebrating sophistication and the incredible rich resources and clean beauty of Africa? And, you know, in early 2000s, people also weren't necessarily speaking to clean beauty, but that was all I ever knew because my mom would use, you know, these ingredients on my skin to treat my skin, to treat my hair, you know, that whole sort of use of, you know, medicine that comes from the earth to treat our ailments and our skin was just all I knew. So I decided at the age of 27 to quit my job in Hollywood and create my grandmother's coffee scrub and learn how to become an entrepreneur.
Yes. And to me, I'm like, I think that's beautiful. That is such an innovative thing to do at that time because not a lot of people were doing it that way. It was very much the standard corporate, here's your basic wellness products. There was no... And so when Tori told me about it, I was completely fascinated. I was like, wow, that sounds so magical. Like that sounds so incredible, you know? And so in the interim of that, you became an entrepreneur, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it was, you know, it was an interesting time. I mean, I think for most of us between the ages of, you know, 27, 30, such an incredible time for shift and change and kind of stepping into your purpose. And so for me, you know, I didn't come from, you know, a lot of money. I couldn't just, you know, quit my job and make my grandmother's coffee syrup without raising money. And at that time, and I'm glad that I didn't have the information about how few Black women got fundraising for their businesses, were able to fundraise for their businesses. I knew I was going to have a hard time going the kind of VC and private equity route, which I learned a lot about in college because I graduated with a business degree. So I decided to go the angel route and really just went to like my community, my friends and family, and said, here's what I want to do. I mean, my parents at the time thought I was nuts, that I was going to quit my job and make my grandmother's coffee scrub. They were like, we appreciate the fact that you are bonding and feeling and tying into your roots, but we'd like for you to keep your job and stay painfully employed. But you know, I also think on top of being a businesswoman, I'm also a dreamer and an artist, and was with David at the time, and who's now my husband. And you know, he was an artist full time. So I was like, well, if he can do it, I can do it. And so, you know, I went to my community of friends and family. I asked a lot of questions. I asked a lot of questions about how to fund from angel investors. And so I was able to get just enough capital to create the 5 SKUs and manufacture. But, you know, at the time I was shipping and receiving, I was customer service, I was my own sales associate. I, you know, gave a little bit of my company to somebody who was a publicist so that he could help me with PR. And, you know, it was really grassroots learning how to do it. And it was a good time for indie beauty. This was the time of, like, and I will date myself, like, you know, when brands like Stila were coming to the market, and Hard Candy and DL & Co. and all of these kind of like artistry driven brands. It was a great time. So I entered indie beauty at a time when people were really paying attention to indie beauty, but I entered it at a time that there were very few women who looked like me in the premium beauty space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And no, go ahead. Go.
I was going to say, and sadly, there's still too few of us, hopefully more to come.
In the new awakening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that you said that, like in the new awakening, though, awakening, let's wake up. Mm-hmm. There's something so special about that too. And I almost like this, what you said about, I didn't know a lot of stuff that you said, like, I didn't know actually that this was, because it's almost like the more that you learn about a system that's not really set up to really help the female entrepreneur, mm-hmm. it's a little bit, it can be a little bit heart shattering, because it might keep you from even trying.
Right.
To
create, right. It could deter right? you. Yeah. Yeah. I say that to young entrepreneurs, you know, that I speak to today, you know, sometimes I think, I mean, yes, knowledge is power and we should know our market and we should know our opportunities, but I am so grateful that I didn't know. I mean, and I can only imagine if in 2020, it's less than 0.02% of Black women who get funding. When I started in 2001, I can't even imagine if that number, I mean, what that number was. So for me personally, and the way that I operate and travel through life, it was a good thing that I didn't have that information, because I'm afraid it would have deterred me and discouraged me. Mm-hmm. What I love watching, like, young millennial and Gen Z, and even women my age who are coming into the business with that information, is I love scrappy, how we mobilize. I am inspired by their bravery, because to have those kinds of statistics and still go for it, you have to be such a brave soul. And so, you know, I'm grateful for that inspiration. And I'm also grateful to be the statistic that quite possibly didn't exist when I started, and to show young entrepreneurs and young girls, you know, entrepreneurs in the making, the girls I mentor, it's like to show them that despite the odds that I didn't even know, this is still my job. This is still how I pay the bills. This is what is bringing me fulfillment and allowing me, you know, it's bigger than skin. It's bigger than skincare. It's bigger than the beauty industry, 100%. But it's allowing me the platform to step into my purpose, which I think is to inspire the next generation of female leaders in this country.
Yeah. And that's precisely what I wanted to talk to you about, because I know that you do a lot of work around this cultivating of new entrepreneurs and supporting that, those dreams. So you're a big believer in mentorships. So did you have a mentor when you started this business? Like, was there somebody that you were working with?
Yeah, you know, I definitely am one of those people that my entire life I have sought out mentors. I have, like, made people become my mentors that didn't necessarily plan on being my mentors. I ask a lot of questions. I will, like, hound you for information. I think that's the, you know, having parents that are educators and you know, professors and deans. I think that is the one part of education that I really took from them, just seeking, seeking, seeking. And so, yes, you know, when I was growing up, I definitely had teachers that were mentors to me and people who allowed me to step into my own power as a young girl, especially at times when you're a teenager and you're insecure, people who said to me, you know, you're a leader in Oklahoma. And so we're going to send you to this leadership academy and you're, you know, someone that kids look up to. And so we're going to, you know, help you to do work with the Special Olympics in the United Way. So I've been doing that kind of service and work since I was a little girl and I was just drawn to it. And then in Hollywood, I had maybe two or three mentors, people who actually chose to take me under their wing and help me to get to the next place or grow. And that definitely was not enough. It's not enough as a woman. It is not enough as a Black woman. There are so few still of me, women who look like me in executive roles in the industry, and definitely more creatives that I think have on that side of the business that are getting the attention and notoriety, still not at the level. But when I was an assistant and when I was coming up in Hollywood, yeah, I just didn't have it. And so when I started this business, you know, Ron Robinson, who launched my brand at Ron Robinson and Fred Siegel, which was a store here for 40 years. He just recently closed this year, retired this year. He was definitely a mentor. The first lab that said yes to me, the woman that worked at the lab that actually took my business, because that's one thing people don't realize is like, just because you have the idea, getting a manufacturer is really, really tough, especially when you're a very tiny business with small budgets. And so, you know, the people that were my first lab and all of the, I say I've had a lot of stops and starts in my business, a lot of like new iterations, new, you know, families of investors, new partners. And so, yeah, for the most part, they've all been mentors. And you know, mentors sometimes last throughout your lifetime or throughout your journey. And some mentors are there to just teach you lessons. And so, you know, yes, mentorship is really important to me. I, you know, currently mentor, I sit on the board of Girls Inc., which is a national organization which inspires young girls to be strong, smart, and bold. Our programs are usually after school, sometimes built into the school curriculum, but and mostly low socioeconomic areas. And so while I sit on the board, I'm also an active mentor in both New York, where my office is, and LA, where I live. And I mentor specifically in their Operation Smart programming, because when I was young, when I talk about those insecurities, a major insecurity I had is that I wasn't strong in math and science. I think part of that was cultural, right? Because even though my parents 100% challenged me to be great in all subjects, especially math and science, I think culturally, or even maybe it was just the time we were in, we were just kind of taught that boys were better at math and science than girls. And so I believed it. And when I went to college, I decided I wasn't going to take any math or any science because I thought I was so challenged at it, and become a letters and an art major and only focus on the classics. And then when I decided I wanted to go to business school, which was at the end of my sophomore year, I had so much catching up to do in the math and sciences just to meet the prerequisites that I needed to be able to enter the business school. And I, you know, had to do a real crash into taking a bunch of classes over the summer and extra classes at night to catch up in order to apply to the business school. And what I realized very quickly is that I actually was great at math and science. Those were some of my best grades. And because I had to challenge myself to catch up, that's when I realized that it actually came a lot easier to myself than I'd ever given myself credit for. And so that's why I work with these girls from the ages of 5 to 18, is to show them that we're great at STEM. STEM jobs can be fun. Having your own skincare or makeup line or hair care line is actually a STEM job. It's based in science. And, you know, to those girls that are challenging themselves at a young age to want to become engineers and build bridges and do these incredible jobs that have also been so male dominated, and seeing them coming from their adversity, knowing that they have that power, I find that I'm often more inspired by them than I think I even inspire them, you know. But I inspire them. So yeah, mentorship, I think, can be the real difference between somebody going for it or not. And so my mentors really helped me to stay the course.
Yeah, I love that. And one thing that I will mention is Radically Loved is a donor to Girls Inc. We have Yay! Donated. So that's awesome. Oh, I love amazing. That. And I love them. Yeah. So
Thank
I'm telling you, like everything, I'm like, oh, she's posting about this thing. We have to go. We have to go.
Oh, my gosh. I love that. Well, you've got to come meet the girls when we are able to.
Love to.
Get them back in school or do one of our like programs that we're doing for them virtually right now. They're just the greatest kids.
I would be honored. I would absolutely love that. Yeah, I think it's really important to be able to have teachers and mentors in our lives, especially especially as women, number one, as women, especially as women of color. Like it's such an important thing to be able to have some sort of guidance, some sort of bigger vision. You know, it's like I grew up in East LA during the LA riots and I grew up in not a great environment. There was no mentors. There was nobody really to look up to. You know, there was a lot of sort of complacency and there was no expectations. It was like, you went to school and you didn't, you know, don't get killed. You know, like that was like your expectation. And it's like, okay, really there was no semblance of like upward mobility or desire for higher education or even college. It was just kind of like kind of go through the motions and this is really what's expected of you, you know? And so for me I can so relate to that. You kind of make people your mentors, you kind of seek those people out and you just say like, no, I want to learn from this person or I want to to be able to see what I gather from this experience. But I feel like it has to come from that, the place of desire or 100%. Even maybe having a little bit of that vision because there's a lot of women, even now that I speak to that just they can't see it. They don't see men or they don't feel like they can do it or they feel like the system is designed against us or it's designed to not really help us. Right. And I feel like, okay, maybe it is true. It's kind of like what you were saying where you're glad you didn't know because if you did know, and so a lot of this knowledge is now out there for us to, I want to start a company. Oh, what are the odds of me getting a loan? Not good. You know, where it puts you in the state of already defeat. Where if you have the right people around you, if you're listening or you're following the right people, it could just re-inspire you to you know, it's like have that belief, having faith, right? Just believe.
Right,
just have
faith,
You know,
and I think, I mean, I hear you on that. But, you know, one thing I will say, because when I do speak to, you know, a young Black or brown entrepreneur in the making, and they say those things to me, I hear them and like I honor you and I speak of my story of not knowing what the statistics were, but here's where you win. And this is where the optimism and why more especially women need to start businesses and help save this economy is that there are so many resources, right? There was no LinkedIn, there was no social media. I didn't know of funds that wanted to invest in women and definitely didn't know of any funds that wanted to invest in Latina or Black women back in the day. So while, yes, those statistics sadly are true, what's even better is that there are these resources and there are these funds and there are more resources to research, to ask. There are so many people, especially in the state of the world right now, who are trying to figure out a way to live their lives in a better and more authentic and truthful and compassionate way and to be anti-racist. And part of their agenda and their plan is investing in women, investing in brown and Black people. And so, you know, what we have known up until this very moment that we breathe has been very discouraging. But I think I truly believe and have faith and optimism that without the dark, there is no light. And so those statistics, there is darkness all around that. Systemic racism, even in, you know, listening to you. I almost cried listening to, you know, just about growing up in East LA, and it's all part of systemic racism. And so all of this opportunity to go out there and raise, you'll find your person, you will find your partner, you will find your investor, believe that. And also know that it's almost your responsibility to go for it. You know, we all have doubts. I've had some really bad days as an entrepreneur where I ask myself, why in the world am I doing this? This is insane. It's so hard. It's hard to sell product, you know, all of those thoughts. But when I said, you know, when I said earlier about stepping into your purpose, for those of us that are considering being an entrepreneur or have businesses where they can consider hiring incredible talent that comes from these humble beginnings, that maybe didn't come from humble beginnings, but has the same color skin as we do, you have a responsibility to change the paradigm, to change the dynamic. If you have an idea about a business and it's a good idea, get out of your own way, get out of your own doubts, do the work, do the research, because for all of us to do that, and then to in turn, through our own success, give back of our time, of our dollars to brown and black communities, what we are doing is evening the playing field. Because then those people who get that leg up, that get that chance, that get the opportunity to succeed, will return back to their communities and pay it forward and help to lift others. And until we are actually seeing those actions happen, where people from these brown and black communities are coming out and are becoming the millionaires and the billionaires, or are being hired by the millionaires and the billionaires, we won't really see change. So the great thing is that there is a lot of light being shown on the dark right now. And you know, the way that we have lived as a society for so long is not sustainable. And there's too much damn talent in the pools of these incredible kids that deserve better schools, that will come out and do incredible things, and that will be able to shine light and have a voice when bullies and hatred try to come after them.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't be afraid about going out and starting that business and doing this as a woman of color, especially as women, because when women come together, we mobilize and change the world. And the more women that are getting out of their own way and leaning into their own spark and sparkle and beauty and essence and power, the faster we're going to get out of this darkness.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. There's a, that I so 100% agree with that. I 100%. And I'm also the eternal optimist. I feel like this is what is happening right now is just going to continue to create more of a positive shift. You know, I think it's important as women, and you're a mom, so it's important just for the next generation of kids that are growing up. And that's actually, it's a great segue for me to ask you about having a green skincare line, because I think that, you know, I love the environment and I am a big fan of green beauty. So one of the things that I was curious about is it challenging to have a green skincare line? Is it more expensive? And and why don't all companies?
What are you doing? I know. That's always the question of the day for me. But yeah, you know, it used to be very, very, very expensive. And there weren't a lot of resources and companies dealing in importing, harvesting, clean beauty. I think that one of the most important things to recognize about clean beauty is it really starts at the top. And our government just does not have enough regulations around what we're putting on our skin, supplements we're taking, food we're eating. And it's just crazy to me because we live in the United States, and I've always grown up, you know, believing and being taught that, you know, the United States of America is a place of freedom, you get the best education, and you know, that's why my parents chose to live here and not go back to Kenya after they were educated here. So So yeah, so it starts at the top and there needs to be more regulations around clean beauty. It used to be very, very, very expensive to source organic ingredients. Not so much now. I mean, there's so many more resources. So it's, you know, it's kind of doing the work and, you know, there's preservatives to stay away from. Nobody needs parabens. You know, it's just, it's much easier to make clean beauty. And I do believe, being part of this industry for 18 years, that I am seeing it go in the right direction. I think that now the consumer is much more wise and you know, is holding these brands accountable for what they're putting out there because we're finally being taught about it, you know? Mm-hmm. So for that, yeah, I think it's, you know, it's hard to start any business, but, and it's hard to change your formulations, but you just do it if it's the right thing to do. And so, yeah, I stand by it. And, you know, I, being a mom, you know, I started my brand before I had kids, but, you know, being a mom, especially, I, you know, pay even more attention to, you know, I mean, I would buy, you know, things when I would, you know, the kids were babies and I would pick it up and just assume like, this is made for a baby. This must not have. And at least I had the knowledge to like, you know, this is my job. This is my industry to, you know, turn a bottle over. And I was shocked at what I would find in like baby shampoo. I mean, they're babies. It goes in their eyes. It goes in their ears. You know, it's for some brands, you know, and, you know, since my kids have been babies, a lot of those brands are doing better now. I think it's just, you know, when people take the time and the energy to even putting dollars aside to do what's right, that's when we get to see the positive shifts.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's like focusing on the actual seed that you're planting as opposed to, oh, what's going to be the benefit of what I'm doing. It's mm-hmm. it's working out.
Or the long-term effects, you know.
Yeah.
It's like for me, you know, I've always been conscious of, you know, wanting to make sure that what I'm putting out there with my name, my grandmother's name, will stand up to the heritage of why I created it in the first place.
Oh, yes. I love that. Mm-hmm. And we love you so much. Okay. I'm going to be respectful of your time. So I've got just a couple more questions. I know. I
want to do this for 8 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so inspired just by you and your ability to just be authentic and you know, sometimes that word authentic kind of irks me a little bit because I'm just like, you know, it's just so used so much, but I don't want to. I mean, like, there's really your way of showing up all the time in everything. I'm just, again, so inspired by what you do and how you show up. And so it's July 2020. Mm-hmm. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Like, I didn't even get to ask you about that. And I want to ask you some parenting questions. So you just have to come back so we can talk about that.
Absolutely. Like, yes, absolutely.
But what does the rest of 2020 look like for you? And what are you looking forward to the most?
So, you know, right before COVID in February, I had just launched my brand at target.com, which was really a dream realized. I mean, I probably said this to you 20 years ago that, you know, I really wanted to have this premium skincare brand and take it into these upscale boutiques but that my ultimate goal was always that I wanted the brand, which is really based on not just my family beauty secrets, it's based on the beauty secrets of my friends, of my travels around the globe. But when it comes to the sourcing of my global ingredients, I was really intentional that I wanted to celebrate the beauty traditions and rituals of women who come from places in the world where our beauty has been under-celebrated. And so that's why I source from South America, why I source from Asia, obviously source from Africa. And so I always felt that Target as a company has done a great job of celebrating inclusivity. And so that's why it was always my dream retailer. Now launching right before, you know, COVID and then my husband getting COVID mm-hmm. and, you know, that scary month of his getting well and, you know, my kids being home, so being a teacher and an entrepreneur with a new brand at a retailer, trying to push that at the same time. And then, you know, all around Black Lives Matter coming to a real head. The first half of the year has been challenging. what I hope, I'm optimistic, is that the end of 2020 is really about standing in our own light, standing in our own power. For me as a businesswoman, it's telling my family story, having faith that people will find this brand on Target.com and hopefully in stores one day. Just keeping the faith and, you know, grinding to see that through. And then as far as society and the world goes, you know, obviously trying to keep my tribe healthy and, you know, praying for the health and wellness of everyone and hoping to God that everybody just wears a mask. And then, you know, as we're moving into this election year, and I'm not even just speaking at the national level, which is important that we all exercise our right to vote. I'm very passionate about voting. I have been for most of my life because I was born to immigrants who repeatedly taught me how lucky I was to be able to vote and use my voice. So I want to be able to encourage others to do the same. But when it comes to the local elections, really helping brown and black people to understand that when we vote, not just for who our next president will be, but when we vote at the local level, that is where we're choosing our police chiefs. That's where we're choosing the people who hire our police chiefs. That's where we choose our judges, everything that happens in our own backyards. And so, you know, what I hope for the rest of 2020 is that I can be of service in helping brown and black people to get to the polls and for all of us, all of humanity, to be voting anti-racist and voting for people who will truly help change this dying paradigm for the next 2 to 4 years.
Yeah. I love that. That's great. That's a great optimistic light to shine. I love that.
Thank you.
I want to, you know, I always ask people on the podcast to answer this question, and it's about why I started the podcast. So the podcast started as a passion project because I wanted to talk to my friends, and I wanted to build a community of like-minded people that believe that the universe works for us and not against us. And it's this idea that we are radically loved by God, source, higher power, whatever it is that you believe in, that there is this force greater than ourselves that can put us on the path that is ultimately our purpose, our destiny. And so, and I believe that that is radical love. And so for you, how, there's two questions. How do you feel radically loved? And then what do you radically love?
How do I feel radically loved? I feel radically loved every morning when I wake up and get to live another day. I feel radically loved by God and my angels. So yeah, that's how I feel radically loved. Just getting to be an active participant of life every day is just a huge blessing. And it makes me feel extremely loved. And what I radically love is all of the parts of my life that I get to live. I radically love being a mother. I radically love being an entrepreneur. I radically love being a wife. I radically love being a Black woman. I radically love being a Kenyan American. I radically love being a friend. I radically love being a mentor. And I just radically love living this life, even the hard part.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. You're so amazing. For the people that are listening to this or watching this, where can they go for more information? They want to connect with you. They want to purchase your product. Where can they go?
Oh, thank you. So you can follow me at Nikayo Beauty, which is NYAKIO Beauty on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the places. And then you can shop Nikayo Beauty at Target.com. And I would really appreciate it. You'll love it.
Yes, it is the best. So for those of you that are listening and watching this, all of the links that Nikayo just said will be on in the info button of this particular podcast. So it's all going to be listed there. So you can just click the links, follow her, and go to target.com, and you will not regret trying this product. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for doing this. Please come back again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll have to do one with the boys. We'll have David and Tori.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
We could do a couple's radically loved.
A couple's radically loved. Tori and I actually filmed and recorded a how to survive a relationship during quarantine, and the video was messed up. It just was messed up. So I'm sorry, you guys. I know you're listening to it. We will re-record, but yeah, maybe we should have you guys on as a guest to give us your tips.
Absolutely.
That might be so great.
We would love that. We would love that anytime to see your faces and give Tori my love. And thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad we finally did this. And thank you just for being there since day one, for being like the biggest support system. And I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you. You're the best. I really am so grateful for you too. Literally, this is like just love, like sister love. I can't even. Aww. Thank you so much. You're the best. And for those
thank
of you listening,
you.
We're sending you love too. We love you too. And thank you for being here.
Aww, thank you. Love you, honey.
Hey everyone, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I am so excited to continue to do this. Please share this with your friends. Email us, message us on Instagram at Rosie Acosta or on Twitter at Rosie Acosta. Subscribe on iTunes, write a review. We love doing this, so please help us continue to keep this podcast going. Thanks for listening.